Hey, Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 234 on February 6th, 2019. Changing this world one ass at a time. If you'd like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the Become a Patron button on my website. If you prefer to avoid recurring monthly charges, you can always make a one-time donation by simply doing the math. For example, $3 a month times 12 months equals $36, and you can get the same benefits as a monthly patron. The link to make a one-time donation is just beneath the Patron button on the right-hand side of my website. Another way to support my work is through EnticeMe.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. EnticeMe offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Just go to EnticeMe.com, #RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER, that's RYDER. If you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of EnticeMe. You'll be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. Hello, everybody. You get the coming off the cold, sexy voice, right? You hear that deep voice? Oh my gosh, my voice was gone for a while. You know, it wasn't that I couldn't do the podcast because I wasn't well enough, even though I did have some days of that. I couldn't do the podcast because I had no voice. And I thought about it, and then I just talked for a little bit and recorded it, and I thought, oh my God, listening to this voice for 50 minutes to an hour would not be a cool thing. So I am back, finally, with my sexy getting over the cold voice and happy to be here. Man, do I have a lot of stuff to share with you. First, let's do a quick patron update. And you know what? It's not going to be quick because I skipped it last time. And you guys have been doing all kinds of wonderful things. Yes. Barry is a new patron for $3 a month. Barry, thank you so much for your support. I really appreciate it. Enzo is a new patron for $5 a month. Enzo, I appreciate your generosity and your support. Thank you. Anne is a new patron for $5 a month. Anne, thank you so much. I really appreciate the support and your generosity as well. Sean is a new patron for $1 a month. Sean, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so appreciative of your patronage. Addicted to FetLife is a new patron for $5 a month. Addicted to FetLife, thank you very much for your support. I really appreciate it. And then I have 2 one-time donations. Curtis sent in a donation of $50. Thank you, Curtis, very much. And Raphael sent in a donation of $20. Raphael, your donation is so appreciated. Thank you very much. So you guys have totally outdone yourself. Oh my gosh. Now, as I've mentioned before, I don't talk about the people that I lose during the month. You know, I just tell you about all the new people, and I prefer to keep it on the positive, but I think right now I'm running at about $530-some a month. So that's where I am in case anybody wonders, and you can always check that amount when you look at my Patreon page. Lots of stuff to cover, like I said, so let's get to it. There is no better way to start a podcast than with Pegging Celebration Time! We'll be right back. Hi, Ruby. So we did it. I got my Aslan Jaguar harness yesterday in the mail, and we fitted her with a nice dildo, and I gave my husband the time of his life. We had a great time. Right before he came in the bedroom, I sent him a nude pic of me with the strap on, and he saw it this morning and loved it. I must say that I was worried about fumbling and not being able to get a groove, but I just jumped in and had a great time doing it. I now firmly believe that other women should try being, quote, on the other side of the bed, end quote, because I was trying positions I know for damn sure that I would want him to try on me. At the end of the session, and he came, I started to joke about things that I wanted done, and he said, anything. I said, the kitty litter, laugh out loud. We chuckled, and both can't wait until next time. On a different note, I have a great friend on Reddit that suggested working on stretching for preparedness, and let me say, the Tristan is an awesome plug. He says it's comfortable, and we also took the recommendation for lube. Slickwid is the best. Thank you for all of your kind words. I hope you are still watching Supernatural. Love you, and play that music. With love, Crystal Hayes. So, yes, we heard from Crystal, I think, a couple of podcasts ago, and they were on the verge, and so they are no longer on the verge. They have done the deed, and it sounds like you had a really good time. I enjoyed how you assigned a gender to your harness. I noticed that when I was reading it. We fitted her with a nice dildo. So, yes, you have a female harness, apparently, which is awesome. So congratulations, you guys. And how cool is it that you found a groove first time? Not everybody does, but I am so happy that that's how it went for you. Because when it does, oh, it's just so nice to feel like you're not fumbling, to feel like you're not struggling to kind of make it all work. Because that happens sometimes. And if it does, that's totally okay too. But sometimes people just kind of have the knack and maybe the physical ability and fitness, perhaps, or who knows, maybe you were a man in your past life. Who knows? Congratulations, you two. I was really happy to play that music for you and keep on practicing. And, you know, the kitty litter, man, somebody has to do it. So why not? All right. Here's my next one. This is a listener who I read their letter in podcast number 233. Hello, Ruby. Thank you so much for listening to and responding to my messages and for all of the advice you offered. You were correct to assume that my partner and I are not in our 60s. We are both in our 30s, in good health and pretty fit. The fact that we both seem to be in great health makes it confusing that doctors have been unable to find any reasons for my partner's pain during intercourse. At her last doctor's appointment, the doctor recommended her seeing a pelvic floor physical therapist and to check for vulvodynia. She hasn't made an appointment yet, but hopefully she will soon. You did mention removing PIV sex altogether, and for her, I would be willing to use alternatives to PIV, but I am not sure that I could go the rest of my life without it. I really hope that we can find some help. I've been researching relationship counselors and therapists in our area, but I have yet to find any sex-positive therapists or ones that specialize in sexual issues with couples. I will be taking your advice and finally asking her for a date for pegging. I'm just so frustrated with her usual responses of, someday. If she never wants to explore that fantasy with me, then I would just like to finally know. It would be sad to hear because that could be a hot PIV alternative. Thanks again for everything that you do. So the reason I read this response was for a couple of things. The first is pelvic floor physical therapist. Hooray, smart doctor, I have to say. Really, really good idea. Pelvic floor disorders affect both men and women and present in a number of ways, including just flat out like pelvic pain, pain during intercourse, even pain during urination sometimes. There's so many different things it can affect. And seeing a physical therapist that specializes in pelvic floor disorders is brilliant. So I'm so happy that is something that's going to happen. And I support that suggestion from your doctor 100%, absolutely. And you know, when I mentioned removing PIV sex from the formula, I didn't mean forever. I mean, ideally, you can figure this out, and it's lovely to hear you say you don't think you could do without it forever, because it's a sweet thing to be really attached to fucking your partner and wanting to be inside them. You know, there are some women out there that hesitate to do pegging because they think their guy's going to love it so much that he will want that and won't want PIV. So if there's any part of her that is concerned about that, you can repeat to her what you said to me, that you don't think you could go your whole life without it because you totally love it. I really hope you two find a solution to that. The other thing I wanted to mention was that it's not unusual, depending on where you live in the country, to have difficulty finding a really sex-positive therapist that specializes in sexual issues. I would highly recommend that you engage someone over the internet via cam. So you do cam sessions with them and you're doing Skype or however they set it up. Their therapy sessions can absolutely happen in that manner, so you do not have to go to someone's office. It can not only save you travel time, but if you live in a state or in an area of the country where finding someone of this sort, a therapist that is very sex positive and specializes in sexual issues, is a really difficult thing to do, this solves the whole problem. Now, right off the bat, I can refer you to Kate Loree, L-O-R-E-E. I will put a link to her website. I know that she does online sessions, but you can also take a look at the ASECT, A-A-S-E-C-T, which stands for the American Association of Sexuality Educators, Counselors, and Therapists. And when you take a look at the people listed there and look for someone in your area, and I'll put the link in the Linkorama for you, you'll be able to click in and see if they offer online services. Not all of them will, but many of them will. So that is an option as well. You can use Kate or take a look at some of the other ones that appeal to you, maybe perhaps near to where you live in some of the big cities, who knows? And that's a way to find someone as well. So dive into that and set something up with someone. I wish you the best and hope everything works out well for you with the doctor appointment and asking her for a date for pegging and all of that. Thanks for writing back. And here's my next letter. The subject is some advice, please. Hey, Ruby, after my first exploration into anal play and pegging in the summer, I wrote to you a couple of times, and my wife and I have been regularly mixing pegging into our love life. It's been awesome, and we've both loved that we can share a new kink in our lives together. I felt it's time to upgrade from the basic harness that looked uncomfortable for my wife and the 5.5-inch dildo that we had used to make sure we enjoyed pegging before taking the financial dive into some better kit. I decided on a comfortable panty harness and a Tantus P-Spot vibrating dildo. When the dildo and panties arrived, we eagerly went upstairs to try them on. The dildo was initially intimidating, as it's pretty big, especially the bulbed end, compared to our vanilla dildo we had before. The issue we've had is that even with a shitload of lube, it's hard to get started as the end is quite big. Do you have any advice on a better way to get started? Or do we need more anal foreplay before my wife fucks my ass? Thanks as always, Craig. Hey, Craig, I think more foreplay is actually exactly what you need. Here's how I do it. I start off all seductive and play around with the opening and everything and ease in and then maybe one finger and really, really take my time. But the point is that I put as many fingers in the ass to equal the diameter of the dildo. So if you take the head of that dildo and hold it up and have her hold her fingers up, does she need to put two fingers in your ass or does she need to like 2.5 kind of? And in that way, you can judge how much you have to open it up before you try and fuck somebody with it. And even when you've already opened it up and you've gotten that 2.5 or maybe even 3 fingers in there, and then you're ready to fuck your partner, As the giver, you don't want to just try and push it right in, because even just a little bit of anxiety on the receiver's part is going to try and close that up a little bit again. So you want to push it against that opening until you feel resistance. Keep in communication with your partner. They'll say, okay, wait, hold on, right? And if you want to, depending on what position you're in, you can actually have the receiver back up against you. Like, say you're in doggy style, right? She puts the head of that up against your ass, and you are the one who puts the pressure on it. She is supposed to, like, stay still. You could do it that way. And she could say, okay, when you're ready, you back up against that, because the person who's receiving the dildo in their ass knows the best time to push a little harder and try and get more of it inside you. They know how fast to take it because it's their ass and they're experiencing it, right? And if you don't want to do it that way because the position doesn't allow for it, you can always, as the giver, just push until you feel a little resistance, but make sure you're balanced. Make sure that you don't have a lot of leaning forward against your push, because when that sphincter opens, you don't want to shoot inside there and bottom out, because it can be very, very unpleasant. You want it to all be very, very gradual. So as you're pushing, you meet some resistance and you wait for that sphincter to open up. This is where you need to have the communication happening. You wait and you say, okay, let me know when I can go further, right? So that's a lot of it. But try the finger trick and have her put fingers in to equal the width of the head of that dildo. Congratulations on your upgrade of new equipment. You're graduating out of the kit. Yay for you. And I'm happy for you guys. And yes, a shitload of lube is a good thing. And I'm glad you really like the Slick with Silk. I totally get why you're having a little bit of trouble, because that's a very round, fairly good-sized head on that dildo. And the rounder it is, the harder it is to penetrate, because you don't have the narrowness of a penis-shaped, like head of a penis, which is slightly pointed. That enables you to kind of get in there a little bit at a time, but just a straight rounded end does present a little bit more of a challenge. But I think you're up to it, Craig. Good luck to you. Let us know how it goes. And another letter. This is called Double-Ended Dildo. Hi, Ruby. I did your beginner seminar a few weeks back and I really enjoyed it. Your knowledge is outstanding. I actually have two questions, please. First, when is your next seminar that you offer after the beginner seminar? Second, I am new to pegging with my wife and she has come around on it. I have been doing solo play as you suggested as well. I bought the Tantus beginner set and I am up to the larger dildo. I want to purchase a double-ended dildo so my wife can insert it in her pussy and the other end in my ass. I don't want anything too wide just yet, and I wanted to get your suggestion on what we can use together. I do wish they had ones without the shape of a dick, as I'm still hung up on that thought, even though I know it's foolish to think so. Any suggestions would greatly be appreciated, and let me know the next seminar, please. Thanks. So to answer your first question, I'm still working on the advanced seminar. I'm glad you enjoyed the beginners, but the advanced one is not quite done yet. I spent some time in bed and have not gotten it finished yet, despite my pledge to get it done by the end of the month. It's not happening yet. Very soon, though, and I'll announce it as soon as I have it up. You guys will be the first ones to know. So if you have the Tantus Beginners set, that set actually has pretty small dildos. Even the largest dildo in that set is still pretty slender, if I recall correctly. Yes, I just checked, and if you do have the Tantus Beginner's Kit, the larger dildo is still like 5.5 inches long and 1 inch in diameter. 1 inch in diameter is still quite slender. You unfortunately are not going to find any double-ended dildos that even approach that. Most of them are at least like 1 inch 3/8 and even 1.5 inches. So you're going to have to do some working towards slightly larger toys before you're going to be ready for a double ender. Unfortunately, I don't have much to offer you. I think the double is something that is good to do later. Here's an option, though. If you get two dildos with suction cup bottoms, you can put them together and use them as a double. For example, you could use a Blush Novelties Ergo Mini, which would be the perfect next size for you to try out. It's dual density, it's kind of soft and forgiving, and it's just a little bit bigger than the one that you have. It does come in like a nude color, and that one kind of looks like a real dick, but it's very stylized, and you can get like the blue one or the bright pink one that really doesn't resemble a real penis at all. And you can take that and match it up with something perhaps a little bit bigger for her, or the same size, that kind of thing. So any matchup of two dildos that have suction cups, ideally the same brand. This is the one that came to mind because that Ergo Mini is a good size for what you're looking for. It sort of would be the next size up. Usually what I recommend when you're sizing up to the next size of dildo is to go up no more than 1/4 inch at a time, because that's an easy way to do it, it's a comfortable way to do it, and it doesn't require you having to really, really work at taking a bigger dildo once you've purchased it and you want to play with it, right? So I'm going to put the link to those in the Linkorama for a couple of suggestions for you. And yes, if you slap those babies together with the suction cup, you can put it in the harness and it should work fine. But one of my questions is, the way that you phrase this is that you want her to put it in her pussy and the other end in your ass. And what I'm wondering is, what does she want? Does she want G-spot stimulation and she's on board for a double? Or does she maybe want clitoral stimulation? And a single with a vibe would be just fine. I'm assuming you checked with her as opposed to you're buying it on your own, but if you haven't, please do, because it's possible she might be really happy with something that just has clitoral stimulation and she doesn't need anything to go inside of her. Now, if you put two dildos together that have suction cup bottoms, it's not going to be quite the same. It's not as if it's going to have a whole lot of movement in and out of her. So it's not like it's going to be thrusting in and out of her vagina, right? It's going to be held in there, so she will have kind of a full feeling, but not necessarily a whole lot of G-spot stimulation. The thing about the doubles that makes the G-spot stimulation good is that bulb is specifically designed to sit in there and put pressure on and give stimulation to the G-spot. So if she's really G-spot oriented, the double would be great. If she's not, and she's really clitorally oriented, then the clitoral stimulation with a vibe dildo would be awesome, like the Fuse line, all the Fuse singles that have vibe inserts would be awesome. So anyway, went off on a tangent there, but I do want to make sure that you're not just saying, okay, I want her to get something out of this too, so I'm going to get a double, and there you go. You need to pick out equipment together, and hopefully you've done that. So hopefully I've given you lots to think about and some interesting suggestions. So have fun shopping and let us know how it goes. And now I have a lovely listener who has been diligently exploring the B-Vibe Snug Plugs. And here is his report. And he actually calls it Snug Plug Report. And as you recall, these are butt plugs that have very slender necks. So the advantage here is that you're not having that sensation of having your rectum held open while the butt plug is inside stimulating your prostate. And I've had a few guys who've tried these out who've said, whoa, this like makes all the difference in the world and this is a brilliant design. Here is the report. Hi Ruby, I've used the B-Vibe Snug Plugs enough to share my experiences. Overall, the design is fantastic and very comfortable. The ability to separate anal play from prostate play is excellent. I graduated to using the Snug Plug number 4 and have worn it for up to 6 hours straight. It feels great in there, and because it doesn't hold the anus open, is unobtrusive. When driving, I can move one way to make it hit just where I want, which is fun, then move back the other way to where I hardly think about it. and I admit that being in public, even talking to other people, while I have that large thing up my rear, is exciting. Probably the best result is less nighttime trips to the bathroom. So we're talking health benefits, not just pleasure. When using the Snug Plug 4, removal requires a bit more care. It works well to use a lube shooter or similar to add some lube at that point. My experience has been that I can take fairly large things going in, up to, and including a woman's hand, which was incredible, with very little trouble and no injury of any kind. Once something large is completely inside, with the anus fully closed, removal is not the same smooth, easy movement. Of course, one factor is the amount of lubricant used. I suppose having the Snug Plug constantly swimming in lubricant might make removal easier, but that would be a factor in worrying about accidents. I suspect the best solution for long-term wear, especially out in public, is to stick with the Snug Plug number 2 or 3. One last note. The Pure for Men is worth it. I'm still fine-tuning the amount which works best, but it does make things neater. If you want to play back there on a regular basis, especially if your partner is at all squeamish, it's worth a try. And this came from Fred. So as some of you will probably recall, Fred sent in an initial Snug Plug report of the plugs 1, 2, and 3 that he'd done some work with and done some experimentation with. He's been reporting in to me here and again and asked me to wait until he sent this final report in for the Snug Plug 4. So this is fascinating to me. I was so excited with the differentiation between anal play and prostate play, meaning, yes, sometimes it feels delicious to have that anal sphincter stretched wide, but it's a different sensation and can be, now with the use of this plug, a separate sensation from prostate play. The discovery that the relaxation of the anal sphincter allows you to kind of forget about that part of it and concentrate just on the prostate stimulation is great, but I'm also not surprised that it's a little harder to get out. I've used things with really slender necks before myself, with like anal plugs and things, and yes, coming out is definitely a little more difficult, especially if you've had an orgasm while it's in there and then you're removing it. It can be a little dicey. So I appreciate the detailed report on that aspect of it. And okay, everybody listening, one more vote for the Pure for Men. You know, it's a trip that I just sort of stumbled across this on Amazon, of all places. I've got nothing but good reports. I do have a fair number of people say, well, why should I pay that much for it when I can just take psyllium husk myself? But what I read about was that the formulation of it includes aloe vera and chia seeds, I think was the other thing. But the point is that the formulation prevents intestinal cramping and excess gas, which I believe is sometimes an issue when you just take the psyllium husks. So yes, nothing but good reports so far with the Pure for Men. So there you go. I will link to that again. And for anybody who's just kind of listening and going, whoa, what is this? This is like a nutritional supplement, so to speak. But basically what it is it's a supplement to keep you clean if you engage in anal play a lot. It's made for gay men, and they have this funny tagline called, take it now so you can take it later. You know, it's basically they advertise so you can always be ready. Don't bother with the Pure for Women, because that's basically not as much stuff for the same price, which is silly. But the Pure for Men, yes, good stuff. And if you are considering it, if you go there and sign up for their email thing, they'll immediately send you a coupon for 20% off or something like that. So yeah, there's some deals to be had that are pretty cool. So there you go. Fred, thank you so much for this report on the Snug Plug 4. And thank you for doing a full report on all of them. I'm going to link back to the podcast where he did the first few. I'm going to find that and put it in the link around my off the top of my head. I can't remember what number that is. But I do appreciate your diligence, sir. I, too, have felt that thrill of walking around in the world and talking to people with a butt plug in. So I know how that goes. It's a kick. All right. Here is my next letter. The title of this one is, Where Do I Start? Ruby, first I must say thank you. This site is amazing. I can't believe I only just found it. I have always known I liked receiving anal stimulation, but hid that fact with shame. 2 months ago, I met and started dating the most amazing woman. She is very much into kink, and just a couple of days ago, used a small toy on me with her hand. This blew my mind. Just her gently using a small toy on me put me into a mental place I had never been. I was told my experience was what was referred to as subspace. We both admitted we wanted to explore pegging. Any day now, I'm sure it's going to happen, and I feel nervous and excited in the best of ways. This is how I came to find you. I started searching for something or someone online that can help me prepare and to have a realistic expectation for the upcoming experience. Your catalog of information is so vast. Where is a guy to start? This is the question I am writing you for. What podcast of yours should I start with? I will eventually go through them all, but time is not on my side for this first experience coming up. Again, thank you so much, Randy. So Randy, the very first thing I'm going to suggest to you is to take my beginner's pegging webinar, because that is something that's going to give you so much information that is really, really helpful for your first time. But I'm also going to put some links in the Linkorama for you to check out, and this would be your first anal play. So basically, it is an article that's written for her, and it's like her first time playing with your ass, and she's probably beyond this, but still it's good information. I also suggest that you do some self-exploration, so I'm going to put a link to your first exploration of your own ass, because if you start doing some exploration, what you're going to discover is what feels good, where it feels good, what angle, the depth, the speed, all that stuff. And yes, I understand you're a little nervous, so if you do some self-play with some toys, then you will know that you are able to take the toy that she's eventually going to fuck you with, and you can be more relaxed about it. It's kind of like having sex with someone who's masturbated. They can tell you what they like. So if you do some solo anal play, you're going to discover a lot about your own body that you can share with her when the time comes. So yes, those two things, absolutely. The next beginner's webinar is going to be Saturday, February 9th at 10 in the morning, and that is California time, Pacific time zone, okay? So that's my next one. I'll get a couple of them up, but the soonest one is going to be that February 9th date. And that really is one of the best things that you can check out with her. So both of you can attend that webinar and you're going to learn so much. Oh my gosh, you're going to learn a lot. So there you have it. And since it sounds like you're really interested in trying this soon, the next podcast that I would listen to would be podcast number 102. That is a podcast where I lead you through all of the different things you need to take into consideration before you choose your equipment. That's a really important one for you guys to listen to together as well, because equipment choices ideally should always be made together. That way you're on the same page and you avoid certain pitfalls, like one of you really wanting and fantasizing about a realistic looking dildo and the other one getting freaked out about it, just as an example. So I will put the link to all of those things in the Linkorama: the Exploring Your Own Ass article, her Exploring Your Ass article, the podcast 102 about the equipment. And you can always find my currently scheduled webinars by clicking upcoming webinars. The link is on the front page of my blog. Normally, I always have a couple hanging out there, but with getting sick over the holidays and stuff, I kind of was slacking a little bit, and I will rectify that situation soon. Did you get that pun? Did you rectify it? There you go. Okay, so there's your information. Thanks for the question. And I'm excited for you guys. You have to let me know when I can play the music for you, Randy. Enjoy your explorations. Okay, here is another letter. Hi, Ruby. Just an update on my pegging progress. My wife and I mostly peg in the spoon position. I can control my climax. I also find I can slow things up, tense my anal muscles around the dildo, and achieve amazing orgasms. Last week, my wife and I tried doggy style. Let's say it was frenetic. I was pounded quite hard and only managed 2 minutes before I shot my load. I enjoyed the feeling of being out of control, but the quality of my orgasm wasn't as good. I couldn't stay in control. I then understood why my wife didn't enjoy riding my cock and said she couldn't build and control her orgasm. I do think when a guy has been pegged, he so understands how women struggle to get the best orgasms. For us, the spoon position is the best one for an emotional and sensual experience. Just another thought. Is chastity play good for a guy's health? Quite a few studies have found that regular ejaculation helps in prostate health, so I would think stopping that process would have detrimental effects. I have found that since I've been having deep prostate orgasms, I haven't had any prostate pain. I would be interested in your thoughts. Floating the boat to your side of the pond. Kindest regards, D. So this is clearly the guy who wrote and talked about from the other side of the pond. And okay, prostate play. Here we go. I am personally fascinated by chastity, okay? On the other hand, and I have mentioned this before, I know so much about the prostate and prostate health, and yes, have been absolutely told by a urologist that the very best thing a guy can do for prostate health is to ejaculate every single day. And there are studies that show that gay men have less of an occurrence of prostate cancer than straight men. They're assuming because they are getting more prostate stimulation. And it is a noticeable percentage difference, okay? So taking all these things into consideration, chastity makes me hesitate a little bit because of prostate health. Is it a healthy thing to do? Well, of course, it's an okay thing to do for short periods of time. If you go longer, then I think probably what you would want to do is to do what they call prostate milking, where you're going in there and you are specifically stroking that prostate and stimulating it to get it swelled up with fluid and then milking it and kind of stroking it from the back to the front to try and get some of that fluid to come out, okay? That's the best way I can describe it. I'm going to look for an article about exactly how to do prostate milking, and I'm going to post that up for you guys because I think there's even videos on how to do it. I'll find you guys something and I'll put it in the Linkorama for you. But yes, I think it's really important to take that into consideration. Is it healthy to just lock up for months at a time? I don't think it is. And as much as there's been talk about all of these emotional benefits and relationship benefits, I cannot get past the prostate health. I really can't. The medical people will say that they don't really know what causes BPH, which is benign prostatic hyperplasia, which is swollen prostate. But you'll notice a couple of these guys have said less trips to the bathroom. Fred talked about that with his review of the snug plugs. Well, more trips to the bathroom means swollen prostate because your prostate is wrapped around your ureter tube. What's your ureter tube? It goes from the bladder, it carries urine through the ureter tube, out of the penis, out of the body, okay? So one of the first symptoms that happens with BPH is an increased frequency of urination because you can't void your bladder completely. It interferes with the flow of urine because it is squeezing that tube. It can also be painful to the touch, like if you go in there and stroke it, it can be slightly painful. What do I think this is? Ruby Ryder, the not doctor, right? The no medical degree, just a lot of pegging and knowledge and some prostate knowledge, but no medical degree. You hear that loud and clear? What I think is happening is that the prostate is in kind of a condition of stasis. It's clogged up. It needs some action. And sometimes if it's painful and swollen, you have to be careful when you first go in there and start doing things with it, right? But twice here on this podcast already, you have heard less prostate pain and less frequency of urination. These are symptoms of BPH. So the whole chastity thing needs to be, in my opinion, combined with still continued prostate stimulation. Perhaps there's no ejaculation. Perhaps there's not an ability to get an erection, even though there might be an ejaculation while he's soft or something like that. But I don't think it's healthy for long periods of time to just lock it up and have no flow of those fluids through that system, because that's what it's built for. And you really need to use it or lose it kind of thing. I mean, that's kind of wild and silly, but you know, you get my point. So yes, I have concerns too. So then, of course, everybody's going to say, so what is that amount of time that you would lock it up and feel okay with it that way? Well, that totally depends on the guy. And I don't have any magic numbers for you, but the more often that you typically masturbate and ejaculate, then the less amount of time you want to lock yourself up and not have any orgasms, because you're used to that flow going through there. If you're a once-a-week guy, then you could probably lock it up for a couple of weeks and be just fine. If you're a three-times-a-day guy, you probably only want to lock it up for a couple of days, 2 or 3 days, right? And these are just numbers I'm throwing out there. I am not a doctor. I am not giving you medical advice. I'm telling you my opinion about this, and that's really kind of all I have. Yeah, I do have a lot of prostate knowledge, but you know, I'm not a doctor, and I don't know it all. So prostate milking is where you manually, with a finger or a toy, go in there and stroke the prostate somewhat aggressively to try and milk that fluid out of there. I've done a little bit of reading on it. I haven't done it myself, but supposedly the fluid that comes out should be clear, and prostatic fluid typically is clear, and then when it combines with the other parts to make up ejaculate, that's when it turns the whitish milky color, right? So you know if you're doing it right by having the clear fluid. So I found a link that describes how to do it that I am going to put up for you guys. I believe it's called The Lazy Dom's Guide to Prostate Milking. That'll be in the Linkorama. And I remain fascinated by chastity. I really, really do. All right. Thanks for writing back in. And I'm very much enjoyed your description of how you can kind of control your climax in the spoon position. I think there's going to be more people trying that out in the future because of your letter. Hey, guess what, everybody? It's pegging celebration time. The subject is fears and successes. Dear Ruby, I want to thank you so much for your good work spreading pegging for all of us. This is something that people need to hear and understand. I'm so sick about the social stigma that prevents many people from expressing their sexuality without fear. Let me tell you that you are a most wonderful person, and your compassion, tenderness, and empathy has helped many people in despair, including myself. I have a story to tell, a story that ends well, thanks to you and your famous podcast, number 112. I'm a heterosexual male in his mid-40s, and I discovered anal pleasure when I was a teenager. At the time, I didn't have any information about anal at all, and I couldn't understand why I was enjoying it. I was attracted to females, after all. With the passing of time, most of the bad feelings ended, but even though I didn't have any more doubts about my sexuality, I was still ashamed, and I've been ashamed of my desires until a couple of months ago. My wife, who has ever been the best companion and my soulmate, is aware of my secret since the beginning of our relationship, as I have asked her to finger my butt in the few occasions that I couldn't restrain myself from asking, those occasions in which the cravings outweighed my shame. She didn't know the extent of my desires, though. She didn't know that I have dreamed of her fucking me since almost the beginning of our relationship. The years passed, and I buried my desires. I didn't ask her anymore to finger my butt, and I was happy that finally I was able to control my cravings. For some time, I even stopped thinking about it. It was such a relief. Recently, though, the cravings came back stronger than ever, and via Reddit, I found information about prostate stimulation. Wow, I wasn't aware until then that men could have so much pleasure thanks to that gland. I mean, I have enjoyed some self-exploration with very good sensations, but never focused on my prostate. My wife found by accident about my desire to explore prostate playing, and I freaked out when it happened. I mean, this was like my worst nightmare made true. She was very supportive, though, didn't judge me at all, and she told me that it wasn't a surprise to her. The same day, she bought me my very first prostate massager. It's not that I didn't trust my wife, just the opposite. She's my best friend, after all. But sex was something that we were not used to talking about. I really didn't know what were her thoughts regarding men enjoying anal. Even the minimum probability of her judging me was something I wasn't prepared to risk at all. Armed with my new toy, I discovered a new world of sensations. I discovered that I am multi-orgasmic, and penile orgasms feel now so weak in comparison that I do not seek them anymore. Sometime after I stumbled upon your podcast number 112, and listening to it was like a revelation to me. This podcast reassured me about every fear, doubt, or issue I have ever had regarding anal. Everything is so well explained, and you made me feel so much more comfortable with myself. I knew then that if I was ever to confess to my wife that my most deepest fantasy was to have her fucking me, this podcast was the way to go. I recently told her to please listen to the podcast, that it was important to me. That she did, and to be honest, it came as a surprise to her, but she's an open-minded person, and even though she wasn't sure about it, she told me that she was ready to give it a go, to discover if it is something she could bear or even enjoy. In less than a week, we ordered a harness and a 6x1.5-inch dildo. I have never been so impatient in my whole life. I anticipated some awkwardness and issues in our first time, but instead, it was sweet and felt so natural. My wife was like the most exciting and beautiful woman who ever existed, and she fucked me in the missionary position. I came so hard, moaning like crazy and without touching my cock, and with her fucking me in the same way that I have fucked her countless times. It felt so right, and then she told me that it was fun. I asked her if the experience was something that she would be willing to repeat, and she said yes. You can imagine how good it felt hearing her say that. Not only because I have fulfilled my deepest fantasy with the love of my life, but also because this has opened a door to a deeper level of intimacy. I feel now that I can tell her anything without fear, and I am truly not ashamed anymore. Looking backwards, I only regret that it took me near 2 decades to let my wife know. This has happened thanks to you, Ruby. I'm pretty sure that I would never have asked my wife to peg me if it wasn't for your podcast. It really helped me to get ready to let her know about my pegging desires. It helped her as well to understand my cravings and to dissipate any doubts she could have about them. I wish you the best, sincerely. And this is signed, a friend. Oh my gosh, what a great story. You touched on so many things that I've heard many, many times. A deeper level of intimacy. I have used that phrase so many times to describe what's possible with pegging and what often happens. Not just what's possible, because it's, you know, you could say, oh, this is possible with pegging, and maybe 10% of the people might experience it. But a lot of couples experience a deeper level of intimacy. You appear to be one of the lucky men who are multi-orgasmic and quite responsive with prostate stimulation, so I'm quite happy for you. And you know, podcast number 112, I recorded that for the women, clearly. I am so glad that when you listened to it, you felt such relief and let go of shame and all of those wonderful things that you described, because I'm actually working on a podcast for the men, and it's going to be very much like 112, but it'll be for the men, and it'll be speaking to them to exactly what you said you got out of 112, to reassure you that it's all okay, but it'll be talking to you guys. So I'm glad that you listened to 112 and had that experience. I'm sure other men could as well, but I'm still going to work on that other one so that you guys have a podcast of your own. Oh, sexual shame is so fucking toxic, Jesus. And I'm with you on the regretting that you waited 2 decades. I waited more than that. I waited about 3 decades. So yes, at least you beat my record by 10 years, right? Good for you. I am so happy for you both. And congratulations. I was thrilled to play the music for you. And one more letter. This is for a guy who I played the music for, he and his partner, in November. Hi, Ruby. It's me again. I wanted to give you an update, ask a question, and maybe offer a good idea. First question. I bought a Vicskin Mustang, which I really like. However, the suction cup is really weak. I also seem to have a very shy prostate that needs direct attention. With these two things in mind, I have been thinking of buying the Tantus Curve, as I know that you recommend it for more aggressive prostate stimulation. With so many new dildos coming onto the market recently, would this still be your recommendation? Also, does it have a decent suction cup, as I want to also use it alone sometimes? I have checked the size, and it seems to be slightly smaller in length and girth than the Mustang. Is there something else with a similar curve, but slightly larger that you know of, like a slightly bigger brother? Then, on to my idea. The last time I mentioned that it would be great if they could put a vibrator in the tip of the Mustang. Well, I hit upon the idea of using a vibrating cock ring on the dildo. It's awesome. I know that it's a simple and perhaps obvious idea, but it took me a while to think of it, so maybe it will help someone else. The update. Things are still going well in the pegging department with my wife, although maybe not as often as I would like due to commitments from both of our sides. I haven't managed to have that elusive anal orgasm, but that's okay. I love the journey and the enjoyment that I'm getting along the way. We continue to open up our communications, and I hope that one day I can extend my fantasy to include some more dominance and maybe get her to peg me while I am dressed up in panties. I sometimes do this alone, and I think it would be a hot addition to the pegging. My other fantasy is to have her peg me and make me come on my own face and in my mouth. I am one of those lucky guys that can actually suck the head of my own cock. It would be amazing to have her in my ass and my own cock in my mouth. I've tried to gently bring up both the panties and the self-sucking with my wife previously, but she just finds them weird, so I didn't really want to admit that I like and do both. I'm attaching a pic of my ass in panties as promised. Feel free to post it on your site if you want to. Keep up the great work and keep on changing the world. Best regards, WT. And you guys, the photo for this podcast is of WT. I know a lot of times, in fact, most of the times I post photos of givers with their strap-ons on, the lovely ladies, or whatever gender they wish to identify as. This is of a receiver. This is of a panty-clad receiver. And excuse me for saying so, but you sent in the photo. So I'm going to say, that is a fuckable ass, sir. Thank you so much for the picture. And I'm sure that many of my listeners and readers will enjoy it as well. Brilliant idea about the vibrating cock ring. You guys come up with the best ideas. So I'm going to put a link to the vibrating cock ring that we have through Entice Me. If anybody wants to try that out with their current setup, that is an interesting thing to add to it. That'll be totally cool. So for the dildo question, you have some options here. First, I'd like to point out that the Vicskin Mustang is a dual density toy. So it's going to be softer on the surface than a 100% silicone toy that is not dual density. So I know you mentioned that you seem to have a shy prostate. If you've only been playing with the Vicskin Mustang, let me put it this way. Some receivers find that if they increase the girth or the firmness of the toy or both, that it targets their prostate beautifully. Some receivers find that they really need both the firmness of the toy as well as the curve, like the Tantus Curve. The Tantus Curve does not have a suction cup on the bottom, unfortunately. Your Vicskin Mustang is 6.5 inches long and 1.625 inches in diameter. take that with a grain of salt, because as I say, it's a dual density toy, so it kind of squishes a little bit when you put it in. It's a little bit forgiving, shall we say. So here's an option. There's a line of dildos called Avant, A-V-A-N-T, and the D3 and D4 are the same mold, they're just different colors, and they feature a pronounced head and a couple of curves and ridges. The insertable length is 7 inches, so that's a half inch larger than what your Mustang is. And the diameter is 1 3/4, which is 1/8 inch more than the 1 5/8, okay? So that is a possibility, because the firmness of these toys, they describe as being partway between a dual density and a regular really firm silicone. The pronounced head is going to target your prostate, plus it's got a really strong suction cup. And you know, even though the Tantus Curve does not have a suction cup, you can solve that by getting a sex cushion of some type that will hold it. We offer several, actually, and I'm going to put the links to those. And I just talked about this in the last podcast, the Perfect Pleasure Cushion. Still not available for wholesale, so I'm going to go ahead and put the link to the item on her website. But that will absolutely give you all kinds of ways to play with it by yourself. And it'll also offer a ton of different fun things to do with your wife. So there's that one, and there's also a smaller one that Liberator makes that will hold that toy for self-play, even though there's no suction cup. And sometimes, you know, the suction cup can be limiting. It can be fun to back up against it in the shower, but if that's the only place you can play, sometimes it's fun to be cozy, warm, and naked in your bed on a cushion. And there's that option as well. So I'll put those links in the Linkorama for you. The only other one I could think of that's got a curve like that is a whole lot bigger than you would want. It's called the Tantus General, and it's got 3 bumps to it and a really nice curve. But it's also super soft silicone, but it's so wide you'd really have to work to take that one, because each bump gets significantly bigger, and the first bump starts at 1.9 inches. So that's quite a ways from where you are right now, but I'll put the link to the Linkorama anyway to that one, the Tantus General, in case anybody who is listening has their mouth watering thinking of taking a 7-inch long toy that starts at 1.9 inches. That's the first hump. And it's a challenge, absolutely, but it's a nice, really big, thick toy that's not totally deep. So anyway, bunches of options, dude. But please do remember to take into consideration that you do have a dual density toy. So it's quite possible that if you get a toy that is just really firm, 100% silicone, and it's even straighter, like one of those Avants, that it will satisfy you perfectly. I'm sad to hear that the suction cup is weak, because that'll screw up your sexy time solo play, right? The suction cup doesn't hold, that's no good. Anyway, thank you for all of the questions. And last but not least, I am going to speak to you being shy to tell your wife about more dominance and dressed up in panties. I'm going to use the word when. When you do approach your wife with this, be sure that you've done some thinking in your head about exactly what you mean when you say dominance. If you just ask her to act more dominant in bed and to be more dominant with you when she's pegging you, she may think that that means something entirely different than what you're fantasizing about. So be prepared to get really specific with her. Describe it to her. Give her examples of what to say. And say, look, I don't expect you to do exactly this, but I figure the more information that I give you about what I've been fantasizing about, the easier it will be for you to understand what I'm looking for. And then we're on the same page, right? And same thing with the panties. This can be a very vulnerable thing to confess to your partner. But if at some point in time, I can't remember if this is true or not, but if at some point in time she has listened to podcast number 112, she knows that that's a possibility, that there are absolutely receivers out there who also like to be feminized, like to wear panties, like to dress up in women's clothing. So Remember on podcast number 112, I say, look, I don't know if your partner wants to do this or not, and you need to talk to your partner about it. That would be the perfect segue there, is to say, hey, remember when you listened to podcast number 112 and there was that part about feminization and wearing women's clothing? I have this total fantasy of wearing panties. And did you know that women's panties are so soft and silky compared to just about anything they sell for men that basically feels like rough burlap? I mean, it feels so nice against my cock and my ass, and I would love to have some pairs of panties that I could wear and just maybe introduce it in that way. But like I say, I know this is a delicate thing because the whole masculine thing, I mean, I think she's already beyond the, okay, you're not a man, because she fucks you up the ass already and you guys are having a good time with this, right? So the panties are one more step further in the direction of, I'm afraid that she's not going to see me as a guy, or I'm afraid that it's going to threaten my manhood, or I'm ashamed of wanting this. But I really encourage you to take a deep breath and present it as something really exciting, not present it as something that you're ashamed of and embarrassed about. Kind of like, you know, I'm so excited to tell you about this because I discovered that part of my fantasy is actually wearing panties. And there are so many amazing panties out there. And I'm just thrilled that this is one more facet of who I am sexually. And I've been fantasizing about you fucking me while I'm wearing panties. You know, what do you think about that? It could be as easy as that. But my point is to try and present it with excitement, that it's something new that you want to share with her and something that you want to share with her about your sexuality. So there's that. And let's see, you're doing the self-sucking. Aren't you the lucky guy that can suck the head of your own cock? That's awesome. I think that she's writing it off as kind of a joke, perhaps because of the way that you're presenting it. She might think it's weird because you're sort of mentioning it offhand, and mentioning it sort of offhand is an easy thing to do if you're concerned about her response, because that way you're not quite as invested, as opposed to really pointedly sitting down and saying, okay, I just need to talk to you about something because I have been totally fantasizing about this, and you are the love of my life. You're such a fucking sexy woman, and you're doing all these amazing things to me, and we are having so much fun sexually that I want you to know what I have been fantasizing about, because I don't know if we can make it come true, and I don't even know if it's something you want to do, but I want to tell you because it's part of who I am. So feel free to use that as a sample script, modify it at will, and choose your time when you're feeling brave and you think the time is right. But I do encourage you to tell her, the more open you can be about who you are as a sexual being, the deeper that intimacy goes. And you do get to that point where you feel like you can just share anything with your partner. And that is such a gorgeous, beautiful, emotional place to be. Oh my gosh, such freedom. It's amazing. Okay, thank you for reporting in. I hope I've given you some things to think about and a little bit of help. Good luck to you, sir. Let us know when you got those panties on and she knows it and she's fucking you. Okay, that is it for this podcast. My next webinar is going to be Saturday, February 9th at 10 a.m. in the morning, California time. That's Pacific time zone. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. You can also find my work at pegging101.com, where I have informational articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps. You can find a sampling of those under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order any sexy new toys from enticeme.com, use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your entire purchase. Please send your questions to Ruby at peggingparadise.com. No question is too arrogant, too assuming, or too asinine. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox, or you can call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.